This is Scott McKay from XMY Communications, and welcome to this audio program on cultivating masculinity as women define it. What we're going to talk about in this program are 14 distinct ways that women's femininity is ignited when they're in the presence of a man. That is, 14 different ways women would define you as a man as being the kind of person who provides sexual polarity when he is in front of her. This is very important, of course, because two neuter creatures cannot attract each other. And therefore, if you want to attract women, gentlemen, you've got to come off as masculine. Interestingly enough, the more feminine a woman she is, the more she's going to respond powerfully to masculinity. Now, on one level, it occurs to me as odd that we need to even have this conversation in context. But then again, given the incredible assault on masculinity in this culture over the past few decades, I can see why men really are wondering what it means to even be masculine anymore. And then, of course, there's this whole idea of machismo versus masculinity. And oftentimes we as guys get confused with that. And what that's about is men thinking that what we do as men to impress each other is going to be also that which turns women on. You know, our ability to drink or do wheelies on motorcycles or have a low golf score. All the ways we kind of flex our muscles and strut around for each other as guys. That's something we do to entertain each other and to kind of build our social camaraderie as men. And of course, that's something that's deeply ingrained into our masculinity. But the way that we reflect that to each other is very different than what it's going to take to turn a woman on. Now, at our very core, some of the things driving us, both as men interacting to each other and men interacting with women, frankly, are very much the same. But for the purposes of this particular audio program, given that the purpose is to attract higher quality women and, of course, more feminine women in the process, we hope, I think we're going to dive right in to exactly what it is that women find, well, masculine about a man. What is it that creates that sexual polarity? So the first one on my list may be a bit surprising to some of you guys, which is why we're going to go ahead and start with it. And that's compassion versus destruction. Now, thanks to the women's movement, or no thanks to the women's movement in many ways, I think we've been taught that men are the ones who are responsible for wars, for all the bad things that happen. But one of the baseline concepts that I think that is exceptionally important to get, especially at the front end of this program, is that there are vices and there are virtues. You know, and this is not gender specific. There are black-hearted men and women, and there are kind-hearted, golden-hearted men and women. And just because there's a trait doesn't mean it's necessarily masculine or feminine, being that it's good or bad. Let me give you an example. We're talking about this idea of men being the bad ones, the men being the ones who provide destruction, even as women supposedly are the ones who provide nurturing and life-giving properties. Well, you see, it's not so much that men are the destructors. It's that there's a perversion or a vice, if you will, of all that is good in the world. If you think about it, evil cannot stand on its own. It has to be a twisted version of something that is good and that creates order in the world. That opposite, that polar opposite, if you will, of this destructive man would be a compassionate man. Think of it this way. For every tyrant, for everybody out there who is creating bad in the world, it generally takes a man to stand up to that person. I mean, even when a natural disaster happens, there's guys who are busy trying to keep the peace, restore order, make life better for the victims. And then there's people who are looting all the stores, right? Well, this compassionate man is the knight in shining armor. He is the hero to a woman. And you don't necessarily have to be the hero to a particular woman per se in a situation like when she's run out of gas or has a flat tire or something, although that's great. You can be the hero to another population of people, and it will literally turn women on. This is why when you have guys who are working for nonprofit organizations out there trying to save the world, they often have just incredibly sharp, beautiful, and indeed kind-hearted women at their sides. even more so often than the guys who are the, you know, rich, studly guys that we as quote-unquote macho guys often associate with getting high-quality women. Women want the compassionate man. Why? Because the compassionate man is masculine. And it doesn't take much logic to deduce that guys who are looting stores after a hurricane or guys who are going around trying to commit genocide aren't exactly turning women on sexually. So what's the second one on my list? Well, it kind of goes along with the first one, following it very logically, and that's enabling safety versus fomenting peril. Now, there's a bit of a difference between this second one and the first one, and I want to go ahead and clarify that. Whereas we're talking about in the first one, compassion versus destruction, actually helping people and having a heart for other people and being able to understand what they're going through and wanting to make good happen in the world versus tearing down other people and hurting other people. This is all about the zone that you're creating for women. Now, famously, one of the big four that I always talk about is helping a woman feel safe and secure in your presence. Okay, well, this is actually very, very much in tune with the whole idea of igniting a woman's femininity with masculinity. You've got to be able to build a cocoon around a woman and have her not only feel like everything's going to be okay, but everything's going to be okay precisely because you're the one who is in charge. You're the one who's present. You see that? Now, this is different than being a guy who creates a sense of uneasiness with her whenever she's around him. In other words, the kind of the tension can be cut with a knife. You never know what he's going to do next. Alcoholic guys are infamous for being this kind of person. That's not going to be attractive to a woman. That's not going to make her sexually turned on for you. But when you take away all the danger, and guys, make no mistake, some of that danger may be how you're presenting yourself. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The guy that a woman needs to be quote unquote protected the most from when she's with him is often the guy she's with. So you've got to be this guy who is creating this calmness, this safety, this safe haven for her. And that will turn women on because women want to be freed up to be feminine. They don't want to have to worry about their own safety. That is why they've got a guy around. And you know, that in and of itself brings up a pretty good point. What is it about masculinity that ignites femininity? Well, it's what's necessary to a woman to complete her feminine persona. Everything we're talking about here is going to be exactly that. What she needs to bring out the feminine in her. And I think what we've just talked about is no exception. The third one on the list is calculated versus combative. Think about the guy who loses his cool. Every time something bad happens, he just wants to go after who did it. He kind of goes off the handle. He's kind of a loose cannon. He just wants to fight with people. Meanwhile, the person who's calculated goes about fixing things in a very orderly manner. He keeps his head when all about him are losing theirs. And if you've ever read the very famous 19th century poem by Rudyard Kipling called If, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. That entire poem is about what it takes to be a man. And that's the first line of it. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs. And the last line of the poem is, then you will be a man, my son. And see, here's the thing. Women don't want you to go start fights and beat people up and start arguments with people when you're out together. That's humiliating to women. Why is that humiliating to women? Because it's basically a public demonstration that the supposed man she's with is really a little boy. There's no maturity. There's no refinement. A man, yes, he fixes things. Women like guys who fix things. Now, they don't necessarily like guys who are always trying to fix them, but they do like guys who are fixing things around the environment, keeping order. And if you can do that with your head screwed on straight, you're going to make women horny. I mean, it sounds funny to say, but it's true. Anytime you hear a woman say, "You're amazing," oftentimes it's because you just did something that generally ameliorated a situation, made it better because you did something that was calculated. And think of it, guys. When was the last time you really fixed something, made something better by being combative? It generally doesn't happen, does it? The first guy who loses his cool in any situation is generally the guy who loses whatever interaction or whatever conflict, if you will, is going on. The fourth one on my list is leadership versus indecision. We talk time and time again about being the leading man. Our entire program on relationship management is called that because why? Women respond to men who lead. They're hardwired to do it. In an incredibly striking example, I had a guy here for a 10 plus live program, and he went and approached a very strong-willed woman, a woman with a very tough personality. And when I talked to her after the whole interaction, basically she said, how come guys just don't tell us what to do? I mean, we can't stand when guys are wishy-washy, when they don't know what's going to happen next, when they can't make a decision. Guys, even the most strong-willed women want you to lead. Even women with leadership skill want a leader of leaders as a male partner. Former CEO of General Electric, Jack Welch, famously said one time, a bad decision is better than no decision. And, you know, I think most women would agree with that. I mean, women will forgive you for making a decision on something that, you know, maybe doesn't turn out as well as it could have. I mean, maybe not something that puts you in a position of being dangerous, not a boneheaded decision. But, you know, if the restaurant isn't as good as other people said it was and you went on their recommendation, women are still glad you made that decision. But contrast that with a guy who can't make a decision. You know, the classic is putting her in the passenger seat of your car and saying, okay, now that we're on a date, where do you want to go? I'll take you anywhere. Well, in the case of that strong-willed woman who had interacted with the guy who came here for the 10 plus live program, she said, the next time that very thing happens, I'm going to tell him to take me to the drugstore and I need tampons. That's what we're going to do. And I kind of laughed out loud, but that just shows the frustration women feel when you as a guy don't pick up that masculine mantle of leadership. As a potentially stunning example of what I'm talking about here, the next time you're at a restaurant, try this. As soon as you see something that looks good to you on the menu, shut the menu. Put the menu on the table and continue the conversation with the woman you're with. Watch her take notice of that. You made a decision because it really isn't a life-changing decision. It's not something you really have to spend a lot of time on anyway. You find something good to eat, you go with it. You're efficient, and this makes women just hot for you. It really, really does. As a matter of fact, it makes you come off more masculine in that character-driven, true depth sense of what a man really is all about, even to people you're in business with. If you're one of these guys who takes customers to lunch or, you know, pretty much spends any time at lunch with your coworkers, actually, try that same strategy. Just find something in the menu and go with it. And watch everybody at the table kind of respect you just a little bit more. Because men make decisions and they do it quickly. It's a matter of being a solid leader. If you don't know how to make a decision, you can't lead anybody else. In every family, there's this one guy that whenever the family's in crisis, and I'm talking about an extended family here, there's this one guy who knows how to make the decision, and everybody looks to that guy in every family and says, what are we going to do? You want to be the guy everybody looks to and says, what are we going to do? And I'll tell you something, if you're that guy, your woman is going to be incredibly proud to be associated with you. She's going to be incredibly proud to be your partner because, again, that's something that frees a woman up to be feminine. She doesn't want to have to make all those decisions. She wants you to do it. The next one on the list is planning versus disarray. Now, see, where leadership and indecision talk about this whole idea of what are we going to do right now? It's this planning versus disarray that talks more about the future, right? It's this whole idea of, do I know how this is going to go? Do I have a vision of how this is going to work? Or am I just winging it? Is everything I'm doing in a state of disarray? Guys whose lives are a mess cause women to nag. And why do women nag? Well, women nag generally because they feel like they're having to pick up something that they feel like a guy's masculinity should be taken care of. If you're being nagged by the woman in your life, something is deficient in the masculinity or the brand of masculinity, as it were, that turns women on. You're not igniting femininity. You're frustrating femininity. Igniting would be to accentuate and heighten, whereas to frustrate would be to keep down and to limit. When was the last time you were frustrated? Why were you frustrated? Because you were kept down and limited. Do you see how that works? Do you see how much sense that makes? Guys, you've got to have a plan. You've got to have a plan for a date. You've got to have a plan for the day. You've got to have a plan for anything you have going on in your life. You should even have a plan for when you're going to get your car washed or your lawn mowed. You should have a plan for how your place is laid out. Anything in your life that is in a state of disarray is something that's a potential turnoff to a woman. Anything. Meanwhile, if you've got things handled, that's something women like. I'm sure you've heard that before. If you can say, hey, I got it, it's all under control, it's taken care of, that's a man with a plan, and that's a man who just made a woman a little bit more turned on towards him. Next is knowledge versus ignorance. Now, first of all, this is not to be confused with any discussion about intelligence per se. Obviously, both men and women can be intelligent human beings. That's not gender specific. What we're talking about here is knowing very specific bits of information that help out whenever the need arises for that information. Okay? In other words, if you're ignorant, if you've made no effort to even try to know something, then that's not going to come off as that kind of masculine, inquisitive nature that women really like to see. Now, I'll give you an example of this. When my wife Emily and I went to Italy, I didn't know much Italian, but I am fluent in Spanish. So after just a very little bit of time in Italy, I was able to see similarities between the two languages and started forming sentences in Italian to help us basically make our way around Italy that much easier. And see, Emily can speak fluent Spanish too, but she appreciated the fact that I was the one who went and sought that particular knowledge to help guide us through Italy. Now, similarly, when we've gone on other trips, I've gone and figured out ahead of time before we've even left how to get from the airport to the city center and things like that. And Emily has always appreciated that I went and sought out that knowledge to help make things flow better. See, a part of that is the planning process, but also the simple fact that you can bring a factoid out of nowhere in any situation, even if it's an unplanned situation, that's going to make a woman stand up and say, now that's what a guy's all about, versus just saying, I don't know. Man, you want a mood killer when it comes to women? Start saying, I don't know more often. Just saying. The next one on my list is influential versus domineering. Now, I want to spend some time on this one because there's this faction within men's dating advice that's trying to teach men how to be more quote-unquote dominant. In other words, you're kind of lording it over other people. That's what I hear in the word dominant. We talk about being an alpha male. We talk about kind of being the head of the pack. We talk about being the dominant guy. The AMOG, you know, alpha male of the group, whatever you want to call him. I'm not so sure that he is dominant in the purest, most baseline sense of the word. I think he's more influential. I'd say without hesitation that it's the guy who can get people to follow him because they want to, because they feel drawn to, who's going to be more sexually appealing every single time to a woman than a guy who basically bullies people, a guy who forces people to be in compliance with them lest he beat them up or strong arm them in some way. Now, I'm going to take this one step deeper for you. I want you to think about this. Babies, little children, have to be dealt with in a domineering manner when they're young because they don't have formal operations logic before age of 7 to be able to reason with them in terms of leading them towards doing what you want. In other words, mom, can I have a soda? No, you can't have a soda. Why? Because I said so. Now notice I said mom. These are matronly actions. Mothers raising young children. Could it be that being domineering is actually a feminine trait? Think of it this way. If a woman is in charge of you, she's going to start thinking of you more like a child than a lover. She's going to start acting like your mother than she is someone who is sexually attracted to you. Why? Because domineering is feminine. And it's motherly. It's matronly. Now, if you're a man of influence, you're a man who's going to go far in life. Women aren't attracted to the school bully, guys. They're attracted to the guy who is winsome enough to have that kind of charisma we're talking about, where others are naturally drawn. Women do indeed buy on the approval of others. And how do men get approval? They get approval by leadership. They get approval by changing the world and affecting the minds and hearts of other people towards helping them achieve their plan. Sure, all of this is starting to fit together, doesn't it? But if I just say to you, well, just lead and have a plan and make people like you, you guys are going to come back and say, well, there's not enough flesh on those bones, McKay. I need to know more about what it is that women really want in a masculine man. And that's why we're having this conversation. We're picking this apart. Guys, don't be domineering. Don't be a bully and expect women to be sexually attracted to you. Be that charismatic man of influence. Help people understand that they're better off if they consider your idea. Help people think maybe that your idea was their idea. If people agree with one of your ideas and they're adding something positive to it, praise them for that. Be the person who's all about making other people look better. Be the person other guys want to be like. That is influence. That's not bullying people. Next one. Ambition versus indifference. Now, we talked about leadership versus indecision. We talked about planning versus disarray. Ambition is the far-flung goal. How do you picture your whole life? It's not a decision in the moment. It's not having a plan for what's going on right now. It's vision. It's seeing the future and having the power as a man to be able to bring it to fruition. Pretty much, that's it. Now, what's the opposite of that? The opposite of that is staying at home with your mommy till you're age 50 and playing Xbox all day, not caring what you do with your life, and basically not having any ambition at all. Women do not want a guy who has no vision of the future, because that way they're not going to have anything to hitch their future to. They want a man who is a leader. They want a man who's got a plan, and they want a man who's got a big plan for a long time ahead if they're going to get in any kind of long-term relationship with them. Hey, guys, listen up. I know high-quality women who have guys in their life that they like. They're attracted to, at least in terms of his looks and other things about him. But when the chips fall on the table, that guy gets broken up with because he does not have the big plan for the future. This is a huge reason why older men end up with younger women, because guys who are younger don't have that sense of ambition yet. Meanwhile, if you're listening to this and you're in your early 20s or even your late teens and you do have some ambition, you can expect to go a long way with women. Indifference is a killer. Now, let me qualify that, because I know there's some guys out there who talk about being indifferent is kind of a way to attract women. That's being indifferent towards the outcome with that woman. That's not general indifference about your entire life. So I wanted to make that perfectly clear. The next is purpose versus confusion. Purpose versus confusion is, you know, the why of what you're doing versus I don't know, right? There's I don't know in terms of making a decision. What are we going to do next? I don't know. This is why are we doing it? I don't know. Or how are we doing it? I don't know. That is confusion. Or I thought we were going to do it this way, but now that we're here, I'm not so sure anymore. It's the guy who gets in a sticky situation behind the wheel of a motor vehicle and doesn't know whether to swerve left or slam on the brake, so he gets in an accident. Purpose is you know why you're here. You know that you're qualified to do what you're doing, and there is a sense of accomplishment behind it that you're all about. You know you're doing the right thing. This is ambition with a layer of character put on it. This is your life purpose. A lot of guys who talk a lot about masculinity harp on this one point a lot, and it is important, but you know, obviously it's not the only thing. David Data talks about being a man of purpose and how that really ignites passion in a woman. Yes, women want to be the woman by your side who is enabling your passion. They want to be there with you on that. But if you're not a guy who can enable that purpose, kind of plug it in and give it life, then they're not going to do it for you. Now, can a woman have purpose of her own? Can she, you know, not be confused in her own right? Well, of course. Of course. But when it comes down to igniting femininity, your masculine sense of purpose is part of sexual polarity. That is the point here. It's something that turns women on, is that purpose. The next is victory versus failure. Now, this is a very important one because I've come to the conclusion that the single biggest insult you can give any other man is to call him a loser. The last thing we want to be called is a loser by anybody else. We don't want to think of ourselves as a loser. And how do you defeat this whole mindset of being a loser? How do you defeat not being called a loser by other people, not being considered a loser by your peers? Well, simple. You win at stuff. You find stuff you're good at and you win at it. And women are drawn to winners. Hey, the guy who's the champion in the movies gets the girl. The bad guy is the one we want to lose. Failure is the spoils of not being a real man or of being a black-hearted person. At least we hope that. We want the nice guy to finish first. Mr. Nice Guy may not finish first for some of the other sundry reasons we've talked about and will talk about in this audio program. But make no mistake, to the victor goes the spoils of women being attracted to that guy. And how could it be any other way if you think about it? The guy who is able to affect things the way he wants them to go, which is what winning's all about. I mean, if you win a basketball game, things turned out the way you wanted it. You talk about sports announcers saying that this team imposed its will on the other team today, and that's always a very strong statement. That's because they fought for that victory. They came out with the heart of a champion. What does the heart of a champion look like? A champion's heart understands the significance of victory. Not the machismo of victory. Not the, hey, y'all, watch this. I can do this and not get killed. But the fact that this victory represents me being able to be a better provider. Me being able to provide more safety. Me being able to show others I have leadership. I have a plan. I have ambition. I have purpose. It culminates in a victory. Now, don't go trying to win things you're not designed to win. Now, great example. We're talking about sports. If you suited me up in the silver and black and put me on the court with the Spurs, I would not be good at helping them win. That's not my deal. One of my deals in life, though, is helping you win with women. That's victory for me. Every time I get a testimonial from one of you guys that you have gotten better with women, I win. And that motivates me. And guess what? This may come as a surprise to you, but Emily is more appreciative of me and she's more sexually attracted to me, and she's reported this to me, when she hears me on the phone with some of you guys talking about the kind of things we're talking about here. Because she knows I'm helping other guys achieve victory. Yeah, and I'm being a leader and I'm being influential. And I'm fulfilling my purpose. All these things start rolling up into just massive ignition of femininity. Even in my own wife's case, who I've known for almost 5 years now, she's not nagging me often because she knows that I'm fulfilling my masculine purpose and I do what it takes to live up to the things I'm talking to you about right now on this audio program to make life better for her and the people I love in this household other than her, namely the kids, to make their life better. Victory is important, guys. You can't go through your entire life failing at everything and expect women to love you for it. Sure, they'll stand by you as you sort through failures on your way to ultimate victory. But see, that is credited to you as victory in the name of the ambition we talked about earlier. When you have that big picture, women want to watch you when things don't go well. They want to watch you when something happens that could be constituted as a failure. Are you going to go out and make a victory out of that? Are you going to parlay that into something better? Or are you going to wilt and are you going to fold up and are you going to die there? The man who soldiers onward is attractive to women. The man who accepts failure and says, man, you know what? I lost. Big deal. That's not going to be attractive. And you know, that kind of plays into the next item on the list, which is courage versus cowardice. Simply put, women want a man of courage. Notice I didn't say they want a fearless man. Fearlessness is machismo. Women want a man who will face fear and do the right thing or do what needs to be done anyway. Here's a great example. If there's a huge spider in the bathroom, why is it that the woman wants you to take care of the spider? It's not because the spider isn't intimidating. It's just because you as the man should be the one to rise above that intimidation, take on the spider, and get it out of the house. In a more crucial, you know, kind of blood-pumping situation, like something that goes bump in the night, when there's more at stake, you should be the guy who overcomes the fear and takes care of the situation. When you lose your job, if both of you lose your job, when all the potential for income generation in the short term is completely drying up in your household, you've got to be the man who hugs the woman and tells her everything's going to be okay. Because guys, that's the holy grail right there. The whole idea of enabling safety, your courage, your ability to face fear, to look it in the eye and do the right thing, that's going to be what makes a woman love you more and be more sexually attracted to you. This can happen in the moment. This can happen in a situation where things get a little hairy at the club. Who's the guy who's going to stand up to that situation and maybe help people get cleared away from that, even if it means potentially getting in a fight or taking a bullet, being caught in the crossfire somehow? How's that going to happen? Are you the guy who's going to make that happen, or are you going to be cowering in the corner with everybody else? The woman wants to know that you're the one who isn't going to be a coward. A lot of times we talk about women wanting a protector. If a guy threatens a woman in a social setting, you have got to tell that guy it's inappropriate. You've got to stand up for that woman, okay? Look, guys, it's part of your deal as a guy. It's what your lot in life is about. You can't shy away from that. Just like a woman has got to be the one who is pregnant for 9 months and goes through the pain of childbirth and bearing your son or daughter, you have got to be the one who stands up in a situation where she is threatened and takes a good solid shot at making sure that threat goes away. Now, you may have to stand up to guys who are a lot bigger than you are, but you're going to notice that when you do, assuming the guy's not crazy or some type of mentally deranged or just looking for a fight or just black-hearted, you're going to notice that guys will go, all right, you know what? I'm going to respect that. Here's a guy who's actually called me out for not being a man right now. And when you're in a situation where you're taking an attitude of courage towards someone who is showing one of these dark perversions of manhood versus a true representation of manhood, a lot of times guys wake up. Now, if there's something bad going on and you do have a crazy person or someone who wants to just start something bad, you've got to have the courage to take that woman away from that situation. That is also courage. But make no mistake, you're not going to be turning on any woman by being a coward, ever. Next on my list is choosing versus chasing. Man, how many times have you ever read someone talking about evolutionary psychology and peacocks and their tail feathers and whatever, saying it's the women who choose and the men who chase all the women? Well, I believe if you have control over your dating life, you can choose the women in your life, because you're going to be this masculine man who incorporates the things we're talking about here today, these things that make up masculinity, and you're going to be able to attract the women you want. But I don't think choosing versus chasing is limited to your dating life. I think you've got to be the chooser in every aspect of your life. A man goes after what he wants. A man who doesn't go after what he wants is a man who settles for what he gets. And he ends up chasing after whatever he can get, feeling like he's going to lose. What's the attitude difference? I just told you. A chaser expects to lose. A chooser expects the positive outcome. The chooser expects to win. The chaser expects to lose. Guys who go around chasing something are not attracting women. And, you know, you'll see this in TV and in the movies. The guy who's going after the next pipe dream, the guy who's basically scratching off lottery tickets expecting to win $1 million because he doesn't have the masculine fortitude to go choose what he's going to do and tough it out to make it happen. Those guys frustrate women. Remember, we talked about frustration and what it is. You're not enabling, you're frustrating a woman when that happens. A man who chooses says, look, here's what my purpose, here's what my plan, here's what my sense of leadership, here's what my ambition is saying to me. I'm going to choose the path that's going to take me there. I'm going to choose to go through all the tough stuff that's going to lead to that victory, and I'm going to have the courage to make that choice. Okay? Now, we talked about leadership and making a choice versus indecision. This is a different kind of choosing. This isn't just about, you know, making the choice. This is about being in the position to do so. This is about you stopping chasing things and being a man who expects to have options. This is about creating the options as opposed to hoping. Hope is not a strategy. Women know that better than anybody. And if you're living a life based on hope, you're not creating that cocoon of security for a woman. Are you starting to see how all this fits together? Now, see, if you take every one of these traits and pick them apart, you can sink your teeth into them. You can get your head around them. But it's that nebulous, you know, just man up and be a man that most of us guys really find way too intimidating to really be on a day-to-day basis. The whole purpose of this particular audio program is to help you break all that down, and that's what we're doing. The next is strength versus weakness. We're drawing to the end here. This is the next to the last item on my list, and this is very, very important. Strength means you have power. And once again, right from the get-go, I want to differentiate here masculinity as women define it versus machismo. I'm not talking about you've got huge biceps and you can crush stuff and you can beat people up. I'm talking about not just physical strength. And by physical strength, I'm rolling in health, the ability to lift heavy objects, to open pickle jars. I'm including all of that. And I'm also including you don't let your resolve. You don't let your psyche get weakened because someone throws something bad at you verbally. You don't let things derail you completely when they're small. You don't let things frustrate you when you need not necessarily be frustrated by them. You take things that would knock other men off of their pedestal and you use them to motivate you towards more. That's all strength. That's all personal power. You leverage small victories towards greater victories. You let small failures create a sense of greater knowledge in you. You learn from your mistakes and you move on. A man who is strong absorbs the negative things that happen invariably in life and uses them as fuel to make better things happen in the future. That is strength. What's weakness? Weakness is dying in a pile, being a shrinking violet, being a wussy boy, not even being able to stand up to a woman. If a woman throws something at you in terms of being strong-willed, a strong opinion, you know, for example, and you go, oh, well, all right, I guess you're right. Don't expect her to be hot for you. Just don't expect it. If you are weak, if you have trained yourself to take the easy way out and to comply with other people rather than being influential of other people, well, you're not going to make women like you. It's just not going to happen. Strength is a masculine trait. Women just flat out don't want to have to be the strong ones in a relationship. Now, they can be strong if they have to be. If they're on their own, if they're single moms, if they're widows, you know, they have to be strong because they have to pick up that masculine. But they don't want to do that. That's not their choice. If they have a man in their life, women want that man to pick that up. They want men to take on being the strong one in that relationship. Why? So they can be freed up once again to be more feminine. The final item on my list is character versus inconsistency. What is a man of character? Well, a man of character is a man who understands what the foundation of his being looks like. He understands why he's here on earth. He understands what he believes about himself, his purpose, and his surroundings, and the world around him, and the universe around him. And he acts with utter consistency every minute of every day in line with what his beliefs are, in line with that cornerstone that his life is based on. If he tells you he's going to do something, he will do it. If he says he is about something, he is about it. And why is this so incredibly attractive, like catnip to women? Well, simply put, it's because they know that when they wake up in bed with you tomorrow morning, you're going to be the same guy at your core that you were yesterday. You're not going to come up with different belief systems and throw the family into disarray by using your power to lead them in an unexpected different direction. You see, if a woman is going to hitch her wagon to you, she's got to know that there's a predictable place this is all heading. Now, should you be spontaneous? Should you make little things happen that aren't necessarily so predictable? Should you make life more fun? Of course you can. Of course you should. But that has nothing to do with predictability of your central core as a human being. That's what's at play here. That's what we're talking about. Now, guys, look, if you're a guy who changes your major every 3 months in college, that's inconsistency. That's showing a woman that you do not have your identity set yet. You do not have that character boiled down yet to a set of ideas that you can really, really hold on to long term. Okay, we're talking about development of your identity here. That does take time. You can't just wake up at age 12 as soon as you grow hair on your balls and say, okay, this is my life purpose. This is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. This is where I'm headed. This is my entire belief system. Sure, that gets developed. But a sign of maturity, and again, a great reason why older guys tend to get younger women if they so choose, is because your character is set. Your identity, who you are, is secure. Now, you may evolve over time. You may augment your character based on deeper enlightenment later. Hey, you may change what it is you do for a living because you've accomplished your purpose there. That's happened to me several times in my life already, and I've got plenty of career left to go. But see, it's that core. It's that safety. It's that consistency women are looking for that makes them love you. And it makes them keep loving you. Inconsistency, not knowing what this guy is going to do next, not just in the moment, okay? We're talking about disarray in terms of in the moment, not knowing what he's going to do next. But for the purpose of what we're talking about here, we're talking about a woman saying to herself, is this guy inconsistent in that I don't know where he's going to be 2 months from now? He's going to be maybe a completely different person with a completely changed foundation. Is his foundation made of sand or is his foundation rock solid? You may have been on a date with a woman and she says to you, all right, look, when's the real version of you going to jump out from behind a rock because you're just too good to be true? This is typically a woman who's had guys fake it before, or a guy who's not been able to sustain this self-generated vision of what his character is because he never really got around to creating it with much substance. Okay? A woman is saying that because she likes what she sees. Do you have the ability to look her in the eye and say, guess what? I'm WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. I'm going to be the same guy at my core 6 months from now. Thanks for noticing. Now, with that, we've come to the end of my list of 14 ways women define masculinity. And you're probably noticing something, and I'm sure it's not lost on any of you. I've covered all of the big four in this context. It's true, okay? When you get right down to it, the big four aren't only what makes you attractive to a woman, it's what makes you attractive as a man to high quality people everywhere. The high quality man of character, the guy who has strength, the guy who's a chooser, the guy who has courage, a victor, a man with purpose and ambition who can influence those around him, a man of knowledge, a man with a plan, a man who can lead, a man who's calculated and can enable safety and has compassion. That is a sharp guy. That's a man who's admired by everyone. But make no mistake, it's also a man who makes women incredibly hot for him. Now see, the big four, of which masculinity is one, confidence another, okay? Also a man who is able to make a woman feel safe and secure in his presence, and a man of character. I talk about all of those things because it's a lot easier to talk about the big four, and those are the big four, than it is to talk about the big 14. A lot of what we talked about today are right at the core of the big four, like character versus inconsistency, right?
But giving you all 14 of the different ways women define masculinity, like we've talked about in this program, kind of puts it into bite-sized chunks for you. Now, to close out here, I want to acknowledge several very different and powerful traits that will indeed help women like you and appreciate you and be more attractive to you as a man.
That will help women to like you and be more fond of spending time with you, but which aren't necessarily gender specific. In other words, they're not masculinity as women define it, but I do think they're very important. The first one, of course, is confidence, which is one of the big four. Now, this is as opposed to insecurity. This is not on the list because women can be confident too, and we like confident women. Confidence means you have the ability to really believe in your own competence. You believe you're going to get things done. Now, that's kind of what equals victory in many places. You got to be confident in order to win. And again, all of this is rolling together. But see, we like confident women as opposed to insecure women also. You see that? Women don't like insecure guys any more than we like insecure women. That is a human trait that's attractive to both genders equally. And it's hard for me to really say that confidence is masculine or feminine. Confidence is a healthy sense of well-being that you can accomplish things as a useful human being here on the planet. You see, insecurity is equally universal as a turnoff. We just don't like people who are insecure because they can't help us have our confidence inspired towards them. The second trait that I want to openly acknowledge here is very valuable is presence versus distance. In other words, are you there? Are you fully involved? Are you giving someone your attention? Are you passionate about this? Are you completely, fully, 1,000% committed and involved? This doesn't necessarily mean, are you in a committed relationship with a woman? It just means, can you do a little bit more than fog a mirror? Are you here? Are you excited about what's going on?
Meanwhile, if someone's distant, they're kind of fishy-eyed. They're kind of off in their own world and not in a good way. They're sort of disconnected. They're not there. Have you ever been on a date or around someone in general and you just didn't feel like they were kind of all there? You know, I really can't help but laugh because when we say someone's not all there, we usually mean they're kind of mentally deficient in some way. But you know what I mean. They're just not present. They're not with you. You look in their eyes and nobody's home. That person is not going to be attractive. And that person's not going to be attractive whether they're a man or a woman. So be that person who's fully involved. Don't ever allow yourself to become that person who's disconnected. And you'll always be more attractive to everybody. You'll also be more attractive to everybody if you're optimistic rather than pessimistic, if you're a positive person rather than a negative person. You see, all around you're hearing all these self-help gurus saying, hey, just eliminate all the negative people from your life and you'll be a happier person. Things will go better for you. And indeed, people who are positive, people who have an optimistic view on life are the kind of people we want to hang around with. They're attractive people to us. But that's not a gender-specific thing either. Positive women, we love them. And women love us as positive guys. Anyone, male or female, who's negative is someone most of us want to cut from our lives. Another thing is being fun versus being boring. We talked about injecting fun in kind of a spontaneous manner with women in your life. And women really, really love that. They don't want a boring guy who's going to bring nothing to her life that adds excitement to it. But hey, we also like women who are fun also, don't we? We don't want a woman who's not going to respond to that spontaneity that we bring into her life. And we don't want a woman who's going to be a bump on a log either. So yes, fun is attractive. Playfulness is attractive. But it's attractive in both men and women. And of course, we talked about character. And I want to clarify something right before we close here. Character is indeed not a gender-specific trait either. But there's a specific reason why I included character versus inconsistency in that list of 14 traits that women uniquely classify as masculine. And that's this. A man, and therefore a man who's a relationship manager who leads, in that situation, when you're that man, it's your character that will carry that relationship into the future. A woman of high character is precisely attracted to exactly that. She'll recognize it and appreciate it, and hopefully you can recognize and appreciate her for her end of it, that she's a woman of high character who's going to match well with you well into the future. It's very important to see that differentiation, and knowing it will help you immensely in your relationships with women in the future, especially the high quality women that you want most in your life, which is why I'm sharing it with you here. Well, I trust that you've gotten a lot out of this particular audio program on 14 ways women define masculinity. And I also trust that you're going to be igniting a lot more femininity in the future. Guys, if you want to reach me, go ahead and write me at scott@deservewhatyouwant.com. That's scott@deservewhatyouwant.com. Let me know if you have any success stories or if there's anything else on your mind, especially if you think there's anything that you think I've missed from this particular audio program or anything that you want to comment on. I'm always open to hearing from you guys. Also, if you want to find out more about what we do here at XMY Communications, go to www.deservewhatyouwant.com and you'll get the whole story. I am also available to you for one-on-one direct coaching, either on the phone or in person. And if you feel like you've got a very unique set of circumstances, unique sticking points that are just not going to be covered by a multimedia home study course that's available to every guy out there, then by all means, give me a call or email me again at scott@deservewhatyouwant.com, and we can discuss all the options in that area. It's been a pleasure to present this to you guys. I've put my heart into this program, and I believe wholeheartedly in everything I've shared with you today. And I do expect that you'll be going out and really maximizing your effect with high-quality women in particular as a direct result of what you've heard today. This is Scott McKay from X and Y Communications. Until I talk to you again real soon, be good out there.